in just a few minutes. And I don't know about you, but whenever something like that happens, as my heart goes out to those affected, I'm also reminded of the importance of my own family and friends, and that sense of what would I be feeling like if I were caught up in this. And I guess when we come to Mothering Sunday, it's a day like that that also brings up all sorts of emotions and feelings. For some, it's a really happy day, a day when we spend time with our mothers or with our children. We're thankful for the good relationships that we enjoy and so on. But for others, it can be a much more difficult day, for people whose mother is no longer with them, for people who longed for children, longed to be a mother, and that just wasn't possible for whatever reason, or people who have just had bad experience of mothering or being mothered. My own mother died several years ago now, and as I look back, I'm grateful for the person she was, for the encouragement she gave me, but I'm also conscious that I wasn't at the time always a good receiver of the love and encouragement she gave me, particularly during my teenage years. And that's a source of regret, that there were things that love offered and not well received. And isn't that true about so many of our relationships, that we fail to encourage, to be grateful, to give thanks, and so often instead focus on ourselves and how we can feel? Well, I want to look at that first reading that Holly read to us from Colossians. If you've not got it open, perhaps you'd like to turn back to it, because I think it's a really helpful passage for us today. It's on page 1184, Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12. And I think it's a passage for mothers and children. It's a passage for families. It was written as a passage for church communities, and I guess it's a passage also for those of us affected by this week's events as we try to build a more harmonious, wider society. So what can we learn from what Paul writes here? Well, firstly, a little bit of context. Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, which was growing but being undermined by heretical teaching, as so often happened in the early church. And Paul is writing quite simply to encourage them how to live their lives, how to live a good Christian life. He knew they needed to build one another up, to encourage one another, to withstand the challenges that they faced. Almost all of Paul's letters begin by giving thanks to God. Colossians is no exception. If you just flip back over the page in verse 3 of chapter 1, he writes this at the beginning of the letter: "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you." Always thank God. He begins with encouragement, and that flows right through and is picked up again here. And I don't know about you, but if you get a message, often it's not letters so much these days, it's emails, but of encouragement, of thanks, of gratitude, of pointing something out, it just makes the day feel better, doesn't it? You just feel so much better about the thing that you have done. And that's because a lack of encouragement, a lack of thankfulness, tends to make us inward-looking people rather than outward. Because when we get encouraged, we tend to want to encourage others. It's something that spreads. And equally, when we moan and we're miserable, then that spreads too, and that's contagious. So I think if you take nothing else from today, remember that the things you say to other people will have an effect on them as well as you. So let's pick up just three things that Paul says that I think might be helpful today. Verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together." The Message translation of this puts it like this. It says, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. I like that image, dress. In other words, what Paul is saying is consciously put these qualities on. They're not a kind of option. They're not something that will just happen. We need to choose to have the right attitude. Choose to have those attitudes when we respond to the choices that we face in our life. Dress in that wardrobe he's picked out for you of compassion and kindness, humility, quiet strength, and discipline. Of course, we can't achieve that on our own. We will struggle. But as Christians, we know that we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Second thing Paul says in verse 16, he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you as you richly teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Bear with each other, he says, forgive each other, teach and admonish each other. He wants us to be people who encourage. Well, this time of year, we're preparing for our annual church meeting, and some of us have been involved in writing reports and reflecting back on the last year. And as we do that, we're grateful for all that God has done, for those who give so much in this place. We're grateful for those seven members of this church who've died in the last year. We rejoice that even though we haven't always agreed with one another, we've seen God at work in our midst and the ongoing support that this community has built up. And I give thanks for that. But it shouldn't take an annual meeting to do that. Paul says do it all the time. Jesus had spent three years of his ministry. He lived fairly quietly for 30 years, and then for 3 years we read about him in the Gospels. And in those 3 years, he encouraged. He encouraged his followers, primarily the group of disciples who gathered around him, but also the wider group of Christians, of growing Christians. He taught them. He showed them how to live. At times, he admonished them too. And I think Paul says that we should do that too. We should look for simple ways that we can encourage one another with a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. Can we do that today? You know, we perhaps can. It's easy with Mothering Sunday to do it to our mothers or children or whatever, but can we do it for someone who we wouldn't normally encourage and encourage them in the things that they do? And then the third thing I want to pick up on that Paul says is to do everything with thanks. Verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. He longs that our lives are lives that display thanks. Not superficial thanks, but that kind of deep gratitude. The second reading that we had from Luke's Gospel reminded us of something of the way that Mary, the mother of Jesus, acted throughout her life. Here they are in Luke 2 in the temple when Simeon prophesies over them and actually gives her quite a harsh word in the future. A sword will pierce your soul. But nowhere in Scripture do we find Mary being angry or showing her displeasure towards God for the place in which she's been put. Instead, she accepts her role with continued thanks and gratitude, just as she did when the angel told her that she was going to have a baby. And we too should see each moment, whatever comes our way, as a moment to give thanks and characterize it by gratitude. I often grumble about some pretty minor things in my life, like checkout queues and people who are much worse drivers than me who get in my way and so on. But they're nothing compared to the experience of many. And yet I grumble. And it's often in the darkest places of our world that we find people who are able to thank God despite the terrible circumstances they face. I'm doing the Bible in a Year, and this week Nicky Gumbel was speaking about a time he'd visited a prison in Zambia. It was built in the 1950s for 250 men, and it now has over 1,300 men. And each cell holds 150 men. It's so cramped that they have to take it in turns to lie down to sleep. There just isn't room for them all to sleep at the same time. And whilst he was there, Nicky tells how he went to a service in the courtyard. It was led by a Christian pastor who had been imprisoned for a pretty minor offence and got years in this awful prison. And this Christian pastor led the service, and he began it with the very simple refrain, "God is good all the time. God is good all the time." You'd think, wouldn't you, that in that situation you'd begin with a lament, crying out to God, "Why can't you do something about our situation?" But this pastor recognized God's goodness despite the awfulness of his own situation. He knew and experienced the goodness of God, and he wanted to share that with others. It's a tall order to be thankful for like that. But that's what God calls us to, and what Paul is encouraging us to aspire to here. To thank him whatever we experience and however tough life gets. So three things then. Have the right attitude, put on the right attitude, encourage one another, do everything with thanks. These are things, aren't they? I was reminded just before the service, these are things that are a picture of the person of Jesus. Jesus did that throughout his life. He was cruelly and harshly treated and rejected in his life and, of course, in his death. And yet, he sought to please God by living in this kind of way. You and I are called to live like that. We can't do it on our own, but we can ask God's Holy Spirit to help us. We can ask him to help us from the place where we are today, however we're feeling, however desperate and lonely we may be feeling, however much suffering we may feel has been heaped upon us, or however great life seems to be at the moment. We can still say to God, "This is the kind of life I want to live, that's going to build up my own life, but actually, more importantly, build up the wider church and society." So perhaps this week we can each find one area that we could work on. Maybe to change our attitudes, to dress in the wardrobe that God has given for us. Maybe to encourage someone, to find someone to encourage. Maybe to be more thankful in Jesus' name.